morning. Good morning, everybody. Today's reading will be from the NIV, Hebrews 11, chapters 5 through 6. Hebrews 11, chapters 5, verses 5 and 6. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him, for before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists, and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. May the Lord bless this reading.
Thank you, Brandon, for that reading. Appreciate it. Good morning, everyone. I'm sure I don't have to point it out to you, but somebody is responsible for leaving that north gate open last night. It's cold. So I'll try to keep this lesson short, and it's not because I'm hungry, but I want to speak to you from my heart today. And as you may have gathered, since I've chosen Hebrews chapter 11, our lesson's going to be focusing on faith. Specifically, walking in faith with God. Now, we're all familiar with the opening verse of chapter 11. Faith is a certainty of what we hope for, and the evidence of things not seen. If you were asked to explain this to someone, how would you go about it? Especially if they're a non-believer. I believe I may have found a solution in the following story. There was this college professor teaching the theory of evolution. And before he began his lecture, he asked if any students in the class subscribed to the silly notion of creation theory. Now, two Christian students raised their hands. So he decided to embarrass them in front of the entire class. He had them step up to the window and look outside while he asked them a series of questions. "Do you see the grass outside?" he asked. "Yes," they replied. "Do you see the trees?" "Yes, we can see the trees." "Now look up and tell me what you see." "We see clouds," they replied. "Do you see anything else?" "No, nothing but sky." "So you don't see God up there?" They said, "No, nobody can see God." "Aha," cried the professor. "That's because he doesn't exist. And why your creation theory has no merit." "That's not true," said one student. "It's your monkey theory that's flawed. And I'll prove it to you by asking my classmate here a series of your questions." "Do you see the professor at his desk?" "Yes, I can see the teacher." "Do you see his arms and legs?" "Yes." "Can you see his head?" "Yes, I can see his head." "Can you see his brain?" "No, I can't." "Well, does that mean it doesn't exist?" I do believe that that student, or those students, I should say, got their point across to the professor. And I believe it's why all of us are here this morning, sitting in these pews. So let's look at what it means to walk in faith with God. Now, the desire for approval is a strong motivator of man's behavior, one of the basic drivers of our human nature. It begins when we're children, seeking approval from our parents, and it only grows stronger as we age. As teenagers, we seek the approval of our peers. We want to be with the in crowd and not perceived as being a nerd. During our adult years, we seek approval from our spouses, our employers, our friends, and our neighbors. So I ask you this question this morning. Why do we seek the approval of men rather than seeking the approval of God? Follow-up question. Which approval is more rewarding and longer lasting? No-brainer. Stop for a moment to consider this. If we seek first the approval of God, it only stands to reason that we will gain the approval of our fellow men. The Bible has many accounts of those who walked in faith with God. Abraham, Noah, and Moses, to name a few that are listed here in chapter 11. But I want to focus on Enoch this morning. I mean, after all, who gets to say they walked off to heaven with God? Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24, records the following about Enoch. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. And after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. Now, as far as backgrounds go, this isn't much to go on, but the book of Jude provides us with a little bit more information. When he warns of false teachers in the church, and he mentions Enoch prophesying on God's behalf about their day of judgment. Verse 14 of Jude reads, Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied about these people. He said, listen, the Lord's coming with countless thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of the ungodly things they have done and for all of the insults that those ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, granted, that's not much more insight on Enoch, but his obedience of speaking about God's coming judgment screams volumes about his walk with God. While the central theme of Hebrews is maintaining faith in the gospel, and written to the Christians in and around Rome who were considering returning back to Judaism, chapter 11 encourages Christians to continue walking with God in faith, just like the heroes that are mentioned there. Now, when the Bible speaks of a person's walk, it usually refers to how we are to walk in this world. We're told to walk in humility, as Paul points out in Ephesians. To the Romans, he urged them to walk in purity. But my favorite scripture comes from John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36, where Jesus said the following, my light will shine for you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. Put your trust in the light while there's still time. Then you'll become children of the light. Now, walking in faith with God means something entirely different. Because the type of faith that Enoch walked in is more distinct and significant than our own walk in life. Enoch demonstrated faith by association with God. He lived in wicked times, like we do today. But he allied himself with godly pursuits and people, serving as a reminder for us today. To be aware of our surroundings. Enoch only had one purpose in his walk. Please God first. Now, walking in faith with God isn't like walking in the world, because it comes with three specific demands. Forgive me. First demand is acceptance. To accept who God is. He's the creator of the universe and all that's in it. Thank you, Michael. Acceptance, accepting who God is. Everything that we can see, touch, and feel came from God. Paul explained this in his letter to the Romans. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Now, the second demand that faith places on us, thank you, Leslie, Mike beat you to it, by the way, we'll talk later on about why I'm up here. Second demand faith places on us is agreement. This is by far the easiest demand to achieve. This happens when two parties have the same opinion and a mutual understanding, which promotes harmony between the two. God told this through a prophet in Amos 3, verse 3, where he asked the question, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? The answer is obvious. Can't be done. Agreeing with God, this is important, requires nothing from Him on His part. It all falls on our shoulders alone. Now, here's the process for us to have a mutual understanding with God. First of all, acknowledging God as creator of all things, seen and unseen. That His wisdom for living in this world is greater than our own flawed perspective. Number three, that we obey and follow His laws and commands because they're just and correct. And finally, that we believe and place our trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. If we're to stay in close agreement with God, There's two more things we need to do. We need to pray and talk to God throughout the entire day. This line of communication isn't limited to only meals or bedtime. It's open 24/7. God wants you to talk to Him. He wants to hear from you. He wants to know what's on your heart at all times. Number two, make it a part of your daily routine to read a few passages of Scripture. Doesn't have to be a whole chapter. Meditate on that portion of those few verses you've read. Try to apply it in some way with you that day. Now, the third demand of a walk in faith is action. Simply meaning, there's some activity required on our part. All throughout the Bible, we can see the faith of people which led them into action. Action for God. Noah built a big boat at God's request, even though he was warned of things that had never happened or never been seen before. Abraham, he obeyed God to move to a strange new land when he didn't even know where he was going. And Moses told God's people to spread blood on the doorposts so that the firstborn of Israel would not die. All of these people put their faith into action. We can do no less. Going to let you in on a little secret. Putting our faith into action isn't rocket science. It's not hard to accomplish. Yet we make excuses each day about some of the chores we have to do. This isn't one. Because walking in faith with God isn't a burden, it's a blessing. So how do we put our faith into action? Good question. Thank you so much for asking. I've got a short list of how we can go about that. Now for the hard part of my lesson. Please understand what I'm about to say comes from my heart. And if this makes you a little uncomfortable, or if it seems as if I'm stepping on your toes, I apologize, because it was intentional. I'm stepping on my toes as well. Here are some of the things we can do to put our faith in action. Team up with a fellow parent. Teach a Bible class. We have study guides, prepared lessons available to make it easy and simple. It's been years since we have hosted a vacation Bible school, and yet every year we get calls from the community asking, are we going to offer one this year? That says volumes about some of our past vacation Bible schools and how important it is. Maybe you can help plan one. Team up with several people. You won't be alone. Perhaps you can take part in the worship service by serving as a door greeter, offering a closing prayer, serving on the Lord's table or the security team, or even helping in our sound booth. You could help prepare an Wednesday evening meal, or work with our Frozen Blessings program for those who are shut in or ill. Maybe help Linda Luna in the clothes closet. How about leading devotionals for our youth and adult members? You don't have to be in charge of the program. Just opening up your home would do. Attending weekend retreats for our ladies and our families. Maybe even serving as a driver to get some of our children to a Christian summer camp. You could attend more evening services and fellowship events, activities. When your presence is absent from these gatherings, you may not realize it, but you are greatly missed because you encourage us. Some of you men should consider serving as a deacon or as an elder, helping to shepherd this congregation. All it takes is a loving heart. A loving heart for this family. I could go on and mention more ways, but my point should be obvious. It's not about what the church can do for you. It's what you can do for the church. And looking back, and in reality, I suppose this isn't as much a sermon as it's been a family talk. I care deeply for each brother and sister sitting out there this morning, because I love you. So I have one final question for you. How's your walk in faith doing today? Are there some things you can improve on? Or maybe it's because you haven't even yet started your walk with Christ. Whatever your needs may be, we invite you to come forward in love as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.